This episode is brought to you by Juul Wellness, beef liver and oyster capsule supplementation. We're all about if you can just eat liver and if you can just eat oysters, you're going to be absolutely crushing it at your hormone health. However, not everyone likes to be eating liver and oysters, and that is why this is the best possible option for you. These are some of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, packed with bioavailable iron, B12, zinc, and essential minerals that deeply support hormone balance, natural energy, and of course, fertility health. So if you are working on HA recovery, if you have been on birth control and you're trying to come off, if you've had an ED, if you've had multiple of the above, and of course, if you're preparing for pregnancy, Juul beef liver and oyster capsules make it really easy to nourish your body every single day. You don't have to cook. You don't have to make mess. You just have to swallow these whole food natural supplements in a capsule. We love Juul so much that we bought it. So we own it. We're very passionate. It's New Zealand sourced oysters and beef, which is the best possible kind you can get. And it's on every single protocol we ever do for our one-on-one clients, and it has been from the very beginning. So if you guys love a little bit of liver or you want to give it a try, because we're the owners, we actually have the best possible discount for you guys. So if you go ahead and use the code HA Society, you will get a 12% discount for life, and only you guys and our founding members have ever gotten a discount that big. So definitely, it's the best kept secret. It's just for you guys. Go to JuulWellness.com and make sure supplementation is 100% covered on your HA recovery journey. That's the code HA Society and use it at JuulWellness.com. On with the show. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. Today with me, I have another client, and this client for sure gave me a run for my money. I'm sure she didn't mean to, but my client Emily here is with us, and I'm just so excited that this day has come. For multiple reasons. She's actually on her second cycle right now, and we were just chatting about her chart. But Emily, we have to tell the people your story and just share your whole journey. So like, take it away. You start. Where do you want to start with this, Emily? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually thinking about where to start because it's a long story. I could start from when I realized that I lost my period 7 years ago, but I feel like it started a long time before that. So I guess I feel like exercise and diet was kind of always a thing for me when I was young. I started going to the gym with my mum when I was probably about 12. We always sort of had a focus on like healthy eating and exercise and stuff. And I kind of just did whatever my mum did.
So was this like a healthy relationship? Like, so now when you're looking back, you're like, I started going to the gym with my mom at 12. Do you feel like, okay, well, let me... I feel like you've already told me this, so I'm just going to ask. Like, do you feel like your mom had a healthy relationship with her body and food?
No, I don't think she did.
Okay.
Yeah. She was always so, like, positive towards us, though. But yeah, she probably didn't have a great relationship. So I remember my first diet was in the year 9 at school, so when you're about 14 years old. And I just moved to a new ballet school. So I started dancing when I was like 5. So I always was a dancer. But in year 9, I think I moved to a more professional ballet school, and I guess I started my first little diet, which was wild. I would take like 2 crackers to school, and I would like limit myself to 2 Tic Tacs. So I wouldn't take any, like I wouldn't take the whole packet of Tic Tacs. I would just take the 2 little Tic Tacs, and I could have one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And that was when I was 14. So then when I was 16, I actually started dancing full-time and left school. So I was a full-time ballet dancer for about 3 years from when I was 16. And that's probably where I would say I got really focused on my body and what I looked like and how I performed. There was a group of us that would get weighed every Friday morning. So there was probably 5 of us who were considered maybe the like bigger girls, who would have to go on runs. Like we had a proper like boot camp thing every Friday morning. And then the other girls that were slimmer than us didn't do that. Like they just went to the normal ballet class, but we would have to get up at like 5:30, do our boot camp, do our run, and then still be in ballet class by 9 a.m. And then we would get weighed every Friday afternoon. So, yeah, it was not healthy, because then you wouldn't eat on the Friday knowing that you were going to get weighed that afternoon. And
And then that was after working out. And, I mean, obviously there's lots of many red flags to this story of just the environment in general and stuff like that. So I guess, like, when people are like, how did you even wind up here? Well, let me tell you.
I know. And it's funny because like after I graduated dancing, like I wouldn't say I was underweight during that whole time, which is probably why they weighed me all the time.
And think about that, was probably your body just being the most resilient body possible under the most extreme circumstances. And yet we've been trained to think like, oh, your body is just rebelling against you. And your body is like, this resilience is like flipping magic. Considering what it's going through. So it's so interesting. Our body is like, this is resiliency. And then us, we're like, you're just being stubborn.
Yeah. And I didn't think, like, when I started, like, realizing I had HA, and I thought it was all just from, like, the last few years. But then when I stopped, I was like, oh, I think this actually began when I was quite young. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so danced, I got through all that, I graduated. And then I didn't really end up going anywhere with dancing. Like, I did a few auditions, but I still probably wasn't the weight that I needed to be. To be a ballet dancer. And I turned 18, so I like focused more on traveling and having fun with my friends. And I feel like for a few years I wasn't really that focused on my body. I still ran a lot, went to the gym, like did a few weight exercises, and maybe it was in the background of my mind, but I wasn't doing anything in excess. So then I met my husband, and we moved away from home to start studying. I started studying to be a paramedic, and he started studying to be a teacher. And then I went vegetarian when I moved away from home and got like pretty into that. And then I stopped the pill, which was November 2017, so I was about 21 years old. And I just was, I started working for a cafe that was like really vegetarian focused, and like it was all like I was starting to learn a little bit more, listen to some podcasts, and I just started to think, I don't really want to take this pill I don't think it really aligns with me and what I've been like hearing that it can do to you. So I just went off it to see what happens. And then I never got my period back. So at first it like obviously wasn't a big deal. I didn't really care. But after a few months of not having my period, I think it was a few of my friends started to be like, oh, you should probably go check it out. Like I had a few friends that had also stopped taking the pill and they were like, oh, mine came back eventually. It just kind of took a little bit of time, like up to 6 months. So I saw the first doctor and she like obviously sent me for all the scans, did all the ultrasounds. She even sent me for a bone density scan and they kind of just said, there's nothing wrong. You're fine. Like, go back on the pill, all that normal stuff that happens to us. All the normal stuff. So I obviously wasn't going to go back on the pill. So I started seeing a naturopath. And she like did all her tests and sort of said that I just had like a buildup of the pill. And because I had really poor digestion, I wasn't able to detox the estrogen out of my body. So she said there was like a really big buildup of estrogen and then I needed to go on a detox to detox all the pill out. Anyway, so that sounded very real at the time. So,
well, I'm sure that there's some replenishing and I mean, I'm sure there's lots of actual steps, you know what I mean, that we should consider when somebody comes off the pill, like just being like, you know, like we know that it like depletes us of like B vitamins and all these other things. So I'm sure there's actually some logical steps, but yeah. I mean, an estrogen buildup when your estrogen is so low, it's a whole other thing. You know what I mean?
I was like, that sounds great. Awesome. I'm going to go on a detox. and then I started F45 training and started doing their challenges because they had just introduced like a vegan meal plan and I was like, that's great, I'm gonna do that. So then I started doing F45 challenge after challenge after challenge and was doing it on the vegan diet, so I obviously was not eating anywhere near enough and started to lose a little bit of weight there, but sort of sat around 57 to 60 kilos for a while. And then in 2020, I started on road as a paramedic. So I started doing like night shifts, long days, like shift work. And I also got engaged that year. So when I was about 24, and then obviously, I don't know, well, in my head, getting engaged just meant that I had to go a lot harder at the gym, go on a bigger diet. So just started F45 even more. So I was going 5 to 6 days a week. Even though I was doing night shifts, like I would still just go after night shift, before night shift, just get workouts in wherever I could. But my gut was really not good at that stage. And like, obviously I still didn't have a period, so that it had been 3 years by then. And my gut was just really not good. So I was seeing a women's doctor then, and she did all the scans again, so all of the ultrasounds. I think I went for another bone density, and then she referred me to a dietitian because she was the first one to say like maybe I was exercising too much. Went to the dietitian and she diagnosed IBS and told me to start the low FODMAP diet.
And low FODMAP.
Then I was vegan and low FODMAP.
Oh, God.
Planning a wedding like first year working as a paramedic. And yeah, and when I
five, like, and then like you went to F-45 training like every day.
Every day. Yeah. So when I like get told something, I like do it in full. So I was like, oh, this low FODMAP thing's gonna be the answer. Like I'm gonna do this really, really well. And it honestly made me feel a little bit better at the beginning because my digestion was so bad. And obviously when you eliminate all those foods, you do stop bloating and feel a little bit better for a little while. So that was great. I was feeling great. I was telling everyone that they should do the low FODMAP diet. It's like the answer to everything. So then 2021 was my wedding. It was the year of my wedding. And I guess it all just kept unraveling from there. So I think like people were starting to worry about my weight before my wedding, but I had in my mind that once I got married, everything would just go back to normal and I'd eat normal and I would chill out and everything would be fine. But after my wedding, COVID hit and I got transferred to Sydney as a paramedic to work there for a while. So we packed up our little small town, moved to Sydney, and all the gyms were closed, obviously. So I got really into running. Still vegan, still low FODMAP, and then started running like 12 to 16 Ks most days. And obviously my job in Sydney was pretty hectic, like just really, really long hours. And we were dealing with all the COVID patients. So it was all pretty stressful. And I feel like my control around food here got like really quite bad. And now looking back, I think, and I've seen a psychologist in like around some work stuff, and they kind of explained like in my job, everything is so out of control. Like we don't choose where we're going to go that day, who we're going to work with, if we're going to get lunch, when we're going to get lunch, if we're going to finish on time, what jobs we're going to see, if they're going to be hectic, if they're going to be chill. And the only thing I could control in my day was what I could eat. So even if someone would offer me a strawberry, I would like that would not have been on my plan of things I was going to eat that day. So I like could not eat it. Even if it got to the point where it was embarrassing to say no to something, I would just say, I just can't eat that. And I have like some allergies like against nuts and stuff. So it would always just be my excuse like, oh, I'm just, you know, I've got a lot of allergies. So I'm pretty cautious of what I eat. Like I need to make sure it's come from whatever. Anyway. So that was
so common. Well, just yeah. I think it's just so common. Like I just hear your story and it's just like every client that I've ever worked with at some point can be like, yeah, bing, 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 bing. Because, you know, you get to such a level of restriction. And I like right before I recovered my period, I was like, oh, I need to go on a low histamine diet, which, I mean, anyone who's been around knows I have high histamine. I mean, your girl's working on it, but I was like, I can't do another, like, round of elimination diets. But because at that point, my digestion had gotten so bad, guys. It was horrific. The bloating, the instant bloating that would happen. And so it's just, and then, like, all these food allergies or intolerances started to pop up. And then it's like, to your point, like I was like, oh yeah, I don't know, or I can't eat. Well, and then they're like, you can't eat eggs or dairy. And then when you take out eggs and dairy, you're like, oh, I say no to every cookie, or like, it just opens up the no to everything. You know what I mean? And then people eventually just stop asking you because you say no because of your allergies and stuff like that. But when all this is a result of like restriction and stress and lack of hormones, and you know what I mean? It's just wild to think that like your food intolerances had gotten so bad. And even in the beginning, even when we were working together, like they were still there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And yeah. Like get to that part and stuff like that. But like, like all my clients who've had like super severe gut issues, like would have never thought that the answer was like, I created this through restriction. And that is what has called caused this like firestorm, an actual firestorm of symptoms. You know what I mean? It's just so wild.
So wild. So that was that year for a while, and because it was COVID, I couldn't really see my family. And my husband was dealing with a lot of his own stuff, so I don't think either of us really noticed like how bad the other one was getting. And I knew my family was getting quite worried from like some photos of me and like calling my husband and being like, "Is she okay? Like, what is she doing?" Because obviously we couldn't see anyone. And I was just like so confused because my whole life up to that point, I had been told, "You need to lose weight, you need to lose weight, like to be a dancer, you need to look this certain way." And all of a sudden, I was like this tiny little human, but now I needed to gain weight. And I just could not wrap my head around. Like, I was so upset that I just, like, I'm never gonna be good enough. Like, I'm too big and then I'm too small. And I just, it was like so hard for me to wrap my head around. Like, and I lost a lot of, I didn't lose relationships, but I like, yeah, probably drifted from a lot of people, including my family. From, I was so angry that people were telling me that I needed to gain weight and do all these things when like it was just the opposite to what I had known. And I thought I was doing all the things to be healthy. Like, I was, look at me, I can run all this way and I don't eat chocolate and I don't like eat all this. Like, I'm just so healthy. Look at me. So it was hard. But I think I remember the day that I got on the scales and I was like 38 kilos. And my husband was like, it was the first time he was like, "I think you need to put some weight on." And mind you, all this time, like since our wedding, we were like, "Let's have babies, like we're ready to have kids." So through all of this, I thought there was some chance that I might actually fall pregnant. Even though I hadn't had a period for like 5 years at this point, I thought, you know, maybe I'm ovulating without bleeding, so I could probably be pregnant. Anyway, so I actually went and saw a fertility specialist that my GP from the old town I used to live in had recommended. And I paid all this money to see her, and it was through Zoom because COVID was a thing. And she literally just like saw my weight, like asked what I did, and was like, the whole thing went for like 15 minutes, and she was like, "It would be so dangerous if you fell pregnant right now. Like, I can't even see you. Like, I can't even see you. There's nothing I can do with you until you like put some weight on and chill out." And that is like all she said. And then that was the end of the call. And I paid so much money, but I get it now. Like, you wouldn't see a fertility specialist being that like underweight because there's no way like anything was going to happen. She was like, "You need to see someone that can help you through this, like a psychologist or something, because I can't help you." So then I saw a nutritionist, and I had just found her through listening to a podcast. And her story seemed similar to mine. And she was actually great. I think she was the first person to mention HA. And she like had a serious talk that was like, "If you want to still be vegan, I can work with you, but like, would you consider any animal products at all?" And at that point, I really just wanted to be pregnant. It wasn't about the weight. I was like, I'll do anything right now to get pregnant. So she was the first person in the 5 years that I was vegetarian that made me think, okay, maybe I'll start eating some meat. So she got me onto like really little things like bone broth. I think I had some salmon. And then I was trying like some slow cooked meat. But like it was quite hard, and I would have it like maybe once a month and think that was going to be okay. And I stopped running, so she was really also focused on my exercise. So she was like, "You just like need to stop running." So I just started walking, and I was still just doing some home, like they were still F45 classes, but they were definitely like not the cardio ones. They were the weight ones. And I think because I was at home, I thought it was okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So like when I say I did a home workout, what I mean is I did my F45 class at home, but I call it a home workout so that it sounds different.
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
Anyway, and we left Sydney. I think that was just not a good place for us to be in my job. So I applied to move down the coast, like a lot further from family, like an 8-hour drive from family, but to this really small, quiet town, which was really good, like for my job, as in like work was just so quiet and so much easier. And it was good at the beginning. It was quite isolating though, because we were so far from family and like anyone we knew. And there was absolutely nothing down there, like nothing around. Like it was just a small, like a really small town. And I was continuing to see the nutritionist for a while. So I was slowly introducing more food and only walking, still doing my weighted exercises. And then I just sort of sat around 50 kilos for like 2 years. I thought, this is fine. Like I thought I looked pretty normal. I was not running. I felt pretty chill. I saw another doctor down in Bermagui and they just did all the same things again, the ultrasounds, the bone density, like everything. They were thinking PCOS.
What was your bone density at that time?
I don't remember.
Well, I mean, did you have osteoporosis, osteopenia? No.
Okay. They always thought it was okay. Yeah. They basically said I had a lot of cysts on my ovaries, but no one really had mentioned PCOS yet. And they just, same again, just go back on the pill. And nothing really they could do. So I spent the whole year down there. We then moved up north a year later to where we live now. And I think that was probably the best thing we did for my mental health, just because it was closer to family. It was like there was a bit more happening. I ended up dropping back to part-time work as a paramedic. I was just not enjoying it anymore. It was like way too stressful. And all I was trying to do was slow down, and my job was absolutely not helping that.
That was the opposite of this whole entire job.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think I saw... another naturopath up here, another doctor up here, did all the same tests again. Then I saw a gynecologist and he was like 100% PCOS. If you want to fall pregnant, like let's start the ovulation induction and just go through the IVF. But I was also seeing a naturopath and she completely disagreed. Like she saw all my scans, all my bloods, and she was like, your bloods are just not PCOS. Like you've definitely just got HA. So she just put me on a whole range of, she said that my weight was fine, my exercise was fine, my food was fine, which is obviously what I wanted to hear. Yeah. And just put me on like,
oh, thank you.
I was like, great, awesome.
Oh my gosh. I've been there where you're like, you're so desperate for answers and you're seeing everybody under the sun and you're paying the money. Cause you know, like when they're like, you just don't want to, you know how like there's some like Instagram posts where it's like, you want to get healthy, but you don't want to order the tests. And you know, I just remember seeing that early in my journey. And so I was sitting there be like, no, I do. And I have paid and there's still no answers. You know what I mean? Like you're still telling me that I'm fine. It's not my weight. It's, you know, you're still telling me it's PCOS. You're still telling me it's not PCOS. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I paid the money. I've seen the people. So with your Instagram posts of you just trying to sell labs, calm down. But you know what I mean? Like, I have labs. I have 5 years worth of labs, all in chronological order and on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you want me to do. And then, so then you have all that. And then for someone to be like, oh no, your food's fine. Like everything's fine. Like part of you, you're like, yeah, I am fine. So So you're like, find the answer. You know what I mean? It's just the thing where you're like, you want to be validated because it's just been such a long journey. But then it's like, you're with hindsight, you're being validated in the very things that need to be changed.
Yeah. And like the thing is, I had started listening to your podcast like probably 4 years ago. Like one of my girlfriends that knew I didn't have a period had sent me one of your podcasts. And I like was like, that is 100% me. I like knew the whole time. I was like, that is me, that is me. But I just maybe didn't think that I don't know. I think I thought I was doing all the things. And then when the naturopath was like, nah, your food's fine, your weight's fine, everything's fine, I was like, cool. Like, I don't need to do this HA like thing. Like, I don't need to stop everything because my naturopath has said I'm fine.
Yeah, I had a naturopath that said that my weight was fine too, and all that
Yeah.
was
So I
fine.
think all the million supplements that she had put me on. Yeah. And that was like a probably a year of that. And then it was yeah, so then it was like this year, and my husband and I.
Diddling. That's my sound effect for this ad break. Again, this episode is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing Jewel Wellness, nature's multivitamin for your goals that matter the most. Energy that lasts, no caffeine crash, skip the coffee, have the liver. It is packed with essential nutrients to support your reproductive health, your egg quality, your cycles, and don't forget his sperm quality. The whole family should be taking it, and you should be rotating beef liver and zinc. He's gonna need it for his testosterone, just quietly, okay? Hormonal skin issues. Liver is rich in vitamin A. And actually, you know what? So is oyster. So be on both of those things. Rotating through 1 month oyster, 1 month liver. This is going to help promote clear skin, healthy hair. This is the natural form of vitamin A. I could talk forever, but you guys need to get back to the show. So go to jewelwellness.com and use the discount code HA Society to get 12% off. Biggest discount available anywhere. All right, back to the show. Bring.
I wanted to have kids at like 26, 27, and now we're 29 and 30. And like we were sitting on the hill like on New Year's Day, and I was like, nah, I think this is the year. Like I need to fall pregnant. Like I'm so over this. Like, what can I do? And I obviously like I would listen to your podcast like every week. And I think maybe the one that week I was like, oh, maybe it's time that I actually just like message them and see what happens. And then I think you and I were talking around New Year's, and my husband was like, just do it, like, just do it. So then I met you.
I know. Oh my gosh. I can't believe we're almost coming up on a year.
I know. And I feel
Oh my gosh.
like, yeah, it.
So here's the thing. You know, like we're always like, where do our leads come from? Like do we just like, you know, like where's the gap? And you know, no, our clients are the people who've been listening to us for 4 years before they're like, okay, I'll fill out an application. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought, nah, I reckon I won't have to go that far. Like I remember being like, I will never have to be the weight that I was when I was like 60 kilos and a full-time dancer. I was like, I will never have to go up to that weight again. And this was when I was like 50, and I had come up a long way from before, but yeah, it's funny. It's
Well,
funny.
I think it's because I think that we all intuitively know. Well, and thankfully, I mean, I feel like it, like, I feel like technically you should probably be able to sue somebody if they're like, yeah, everything's fine. Just come join my program. And I'm sure you waited 4 years because you're like, oh, those hood rats, they are not going to tell me everything's fine. So, like, subconsciously, you know what I mean? Like,
Exactly.
oh man, they are not going to validate the things that I want to be validated for. Because think about it, you
Yeah.
were willing to pay. You were
Yeah.
willing to pay the money. You know what I mean? So not saying that you're like goo gobs money, you know what I mean? But like for me, I was willing to pay for the test before I was willing to pay, you know what I mean? Oh, fine, order this Dutch test and order this thing,
Yeah.
this brain scan, and let's do,
Yeah.
this naturopath appointment that's like $500 for the first visit. You know, all these things, all these things. I was willing to pay for them because I thought that they had the answer, obviously, but I didn't get a hint of any inkling that like I would have to change the way that I was eating or like, you know what I mean? So I think it's just subconsciously, we're such interesting humans. Okay. So you get on a call with me and clearly this is not validating everything that you wanted to be validating.
Yeah.
And that you still move forward and you still signed up.
I know. Because then it took me a long time with you.
Yeah.
And I just think I couldn't have done it any faster, I don't reckon.
Amen. You know what? So many people, and I get it. No one wants to be in this state for an extended amount of time. I'm not saying that anybody should be, but I just love what you just said because it's so true to where, like, for you and your specific journey, you're like, no, like, there's nothing wrong with my journey. It just took me this long.
Yeah.
It just took me because you had so much unpacking. I mean, I remember in the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, there was so much unpacking to do. And at first, it was kind of a weird situation because you weren't really exercising then. So, like, I didn't have this major lever or level pull, you know what I mean? And so then, so really it came down to like mental stress, you know what I mean? And it came down to food. And that's where you and I started making these slow changes with your food, like over time, and really like addressing like, girl, is that a tablespoon of ice cream? Do you remember that? Do you remember the ice cream thing?
Oh, gosh.
You're like, yeah, I'm having ice cream. I'm like, oh, cool. Let me take a look. And I'm like, yes, yes, you are. And I love you for that. That might be the smallest tablespoon of ice cream I've ever seen in my life. But for you, it's like, that was the last thing that we, because like, there was so much, like, what do you think was like the biggest changes once we started working together that you were like, oh, I knew she was going to say something about that.
I reckon the biggest thing for me that helped was eating as soon as I woke up.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah.
Cause I remember you saying like, you need to, cause like there was a while that I held on to doing like a lot of Pilates and you were like, you need to eat before Pilates. And I would be like, cool, I'll have a banana. And then I would just have a banana. And then I would still finish Pilates, go for coffee, like, and then I still wouldn't have breakfast till like 10. But I thought in my head, oh, I've already eaten my banana and my, like, and then we added the peanut butter, so I thought it was fine. But it probably wasn't until I woke up and would have, like, eggs on toast, even if it was 6 a.m. Like, if I just woke up, ate breakfast, like, that for me, I think, was a game changer. I think that's when I started to get better.
Yeah. And like, and like, even then, you know, like, by the way, like, whenever people's food is the most beautiful looking, I'm like, they're still hungry. So that's a coaching tip that wants to be a future. When people are looking super cute, they're hungry. Because normally busy people, no, you ain't got time to make it look cute unless you're hungry. Right. But anyways, but like, and then like you would have this halloumi cheese. And I was like, I need to get this halloumi cheese. Right? But then like you started to bring that in and like you really had to start adding in more animal based and not relying so much on tofu because honestly, tofu wasn't getting the job done for you. You know what I mean? And I'm not sitting here. So before all y'all send me some hate mail, I'm not saying anything about tofu, although I'm not going to eat it. But what I'm saying is it just wasn't working for you. Like it wasn't getting the job done.
Yeah, definitely. I can't remember the last time. I think we ate so much tofu that now I like can't even look at tofu.
Which is so interesting because people are like, well, what about the soy and tofu? And shouldn't that help? And I'm like, look, I've seen people pound tofu. And it still didn't bring their cycles back. And like, you kind of had to take a break from red meat for a little bit, correct?
Yeah. So when I started eating meat again, I struggled to digest it. Like I still can't have lamb, but I like eat a lot of beef. So then I had to have a break from it. And I was just having like chicken and and salmon. And then I would throw in like a steak, like just to see how I feel. But now it's like, my digestion is wild. I'm just like so normal now. And I remember always I would listen
so
to
you. So normal. Say that again. You're so normal now.
I would listen to your podcast and like during my like HA recovery with you when I was like feeling so shitty, people would say, oh, it feels so good on the other side. Like life feels so good once you get through it. And I just remember being like, firstly, surely being skinny feels better than that. And secondly, I'm never going to feel
good. I love your honesty. You're like, look here, you're just saying that.
Yeah. And I honestly can't believe like how good I feel. Like it's so wild to have like good digestion and not be stressing about what I'm gonna eat or who's gonna cook it. Or like Christmas, I feel like this is gonna be the first Christmas where I eat like ham, and I'm so excited to like go over to my auntie's house and just eat whatever they have cooked without like being stressed about it.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. So speaking of that, I feel like, and then you had so, you know, just to, can you tell the people how long it took you to recover, just so that they're just like, oh, well, she keeps saying it's long, but it can't be as long as me. No, this one's one of the longer ones, ladies.
I got my, after starting with you, I got my first period after 265 days.
So almost like girls, we were like 100 days short of a year.
Yeah.
100 days short. And like, even during that time, let's talk about that too. Cause I think even during that time, like I always follow up, I'm always checking in. You're like, look, you're never going to get rid of me until you recover. So just.
I was so nice though.
No, I was like, you're never going to get rid of me. But you know, like we did back off because you were like, hey, I'm at my limit. I cannot allow myself to gain any more weight. Like I'm at my limit and I just need to pause. And I just think for so long, I think people like look at that in such a negative light. And as a coach, I'm like, no, absolutely. I get it. As long as you don't go backwards.
Yeah.
Let's pause here. It's fine. It's fine to take a break. It's fine to like breathe a little bit. It's fine to, you know, to be honest with ourselves and be like, I don't see myself being able to push right now. And so I'm going to take a break. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just think that like more people need to hear success stories where people have chosen to take a break. And
yeah.
Gets a gold star. Everyone thinks that they're getting a gold star, and I hate to tell people, I'm like, so I just want to let you know your periods are gold star and that's it.
Yeah I was like, I was like so upset. I was like, this is it, like I can't go any further. I feel so crappy, like I'm not. I remember saying to my husband, like, I think IVF is just gonna be our thing. Like I've done all I can do, and I know I could probably go further and get a period, but I can't. And I paused for a while. And then we did actually book in to start IVF. It was so wild. My appointment was like 2 weeks away when I got my first bleed. Yeah, I was,
Well, because I remember like being like, hey, you know what I mean? Just like knowing. So like, it's just interesting because like as a coach, I mean, and you're not the first one to be like, okay, well, my appointment's here. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, Lord, we need this to come, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, not that he's up there withholding or anything, but just like, woo, on a tight timeline, like, you know what I mean? And then you had like messaged me because even though you took a break, like you were still listening to the podcast, you're still listening to the community. So it's not like you went off the deep end and then just started like restricting again. And you messaged me, you're like, hey, I think I had a light bulb moment. Do you want to share that with people? Because I was like, well, damn.
I forgot about that. Yeah. So this was before I think when I booked my IVF appointment, it was like 3 months away. So like during that 3 months, I was like, okay, I'm going to give this 3 months like a really good go. And I would never, ever let my husband cook dinner, like ever. I would finish work at 7 and be stressing, like, I need to rush home because I need to get home and cook dinner and, like, blah, blah, blah. And mind you, he always offers to cook. Like, he's great. He always, the whole, like, 10 years we've been together would still each week say, what, like, I should cook. Like, what do you want me to cook? And then, I messaged you and I was like, I think I just realized what is holding me back. I never let my husband cook for me. And that was like, and you were like, yes.
That is it. Well, I think it's just, I think for me, even for me, I was like, in all of our conversations and all of our emails, like, that has like never come up. And I was like, oh my gosh, that needs to be on an intake form.
Yeah.
Like, as a coach and as a, you know, like I say this all the time, as a coach, you can never ask too many questions. Like you can, and like you can always ask it and re-ask it and check up. Like there is, so like I have another moment in my coaching career where this has happened to me and it will forever be ingrained. Both these situations will forever be ingrained in my whole entire life. One of it, it was an early client and like we still keep in touch and she has her second baby and anyways, and I was just stuck. So I had Danny join, you know, jump on. I was like, girl, just jump on with me. Like, what am I missing? Like, I just need a new set of eyes, right? And so she goes, okay, yeah. So you're like, are you eating when you first wake up? She says, yeah, I'm eating. Because people will give different answers to different people. And like, when you develop a relationship with somebody, it's almost like you get too familiar. And so when you have to answer the question to somebody else, you always answer it differently, right? She goes, oh yeah. And you're like, I wake up and I have a graham cracker. Girl, I about fell out. I said, Danny, I've already found a situation. You are like, you're good to go. You don't need to hang up. This is the problem. Cause when I would ask her, say, hey, are you eating when you first wake up? Are we, you know what I mean? She goes, yeah. I'm totally eating when I wake up. And then, but then whenever she tells Danny, she told Danny, yeah, I'm having a graham cracker. And I said, oh, no. No. Oh, okay. I know what the problem is, right? And so for you to be like, hey, over these 265 days that you've been in communication, that you've known me, I've never let my husband cook for me, basically. And I was like, oh no, you know what I mean? It was the same. I was like, oh no. And you're like, this is it. And I remember being like, yes, lady, this is it. Like, this is it. Please let your husband cook dinner. Like, you are no longer allowed to cook dinner. Let your husband cook dinner.
Yeah. And it's changed so much. Like, even just at work of a night, like, I'm so much more relaxed, like, not having to rush out the door. Like, I can actually just chill knowing that when I get home, my dinner's going to be ready for me.
God, it's just nice to eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what was it, like, 2 weeks afterwards, like, you got your period? It was some short time after that you had actually gotten your period.
Yeah. Probably, like, yeah, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks. I was just like, well, there we go. And which obviously there's logistics to having somebody else cook, but I also think that this point, and this is like one of those like case studies, right? This is one of those case studies of where it's like the mental death grip that you had on control was playing a role to some degree.
Yeah.
And like you just can't give up on clients. So there's that, you know what I mean? But you have to keep pulling like every strand until you find, well, is this the death grip one? Is this the death grip one? You almost have to remove. The reason why you had to remove so much control is because you actually don't know which one is the trigger.
Yeah.
And had I asked you earlier, I think you would be like, oh no, it's fine. It's like, it's not a problem for me. I've always done it. I'm sure you would have been like, I prefer to do it this way.
Yes, I was 100%.
This helps me not stress out. Cause that's what all my friends would say. Like, you know what I mean? And so it's just kind of like, you know, back to your earlier point of like, it had to take this long. Like, it just is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think I needed that IVF appointment to be like, okay, you've got 3 months and then that's it. Like, and then IVF is your journey. Because those 3 months were probably the, like, the change. Like, I stopped doing any exercise for those 3 months. Like, stopped Pilates, stopped walking. And then, yeah, my husband was cooking for the last few weeks. And, yeah, that was the game changer.
Yeah, and you know, like, I do. So, like, even think about this, like, yeah, like, there was a level of pressure. And so to think that, and to our point, like, it's not about not having any stress in your life, because we could say that that appointment was a timeline that did cause action. You know what I mean? Like, the point is not removing all stress, so there's never a, you know what I mean? But then to, like, you letting go control of, like, cooking every meal was, you know what I mean, successful. It's just wild. Okay, so you had your first bleed, and so by looking at your chart, it was an anovulatory bleed, but we didn't care. We're just like, whatever. Right? We're just like,
And it was actually so funny, though. I was so convinced for the first 2 days that I had, like, cut myself and that it was.
I know. Everybody does this. And I think I told you that. I was like, no. I was like, did you have a bike accident? Then no. Like, everybody thinks it's, like, magically, I don't know, like, a vein popped, like, down in your vagina and somehow, like, magically, like, you know what I mean? Like, bleeding or something like that. And then it's like, no, I have to come to reality. Like, this is my period. Like,
After 7 years, it's like, well, I don't know. It's just, I forgot what it was going to be like.
Absolutely. And then on your second cycle, which I was so happy. Okay, so your second cycle was 45 days, which is generally common for the second one. But with this 45 days, you definitely ovulated and you had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 day luteal phase, which is pretty strong for a first ovulatory cycle.
Yay.
Girl, not only did you bleed, but then you ovulated all before, like, the 1 year mark. And now we're just waiting for you to ovulate on your third cycle right now.
Yeah.
Ugh. Girl. Wild. So wild. And to think, so here's a few questions. Because I have a client now, she's struggling with, I think she's in a very similar boat, and she's just coming from a vegan background. And I think that she's just kind of, like, ghosted right now, because she's just like, I don't want to have to eat any more meat. And if I talk to Ashley, she's going to tell me I have to do this, you know, stuff like that. But how hard was it for you to accept, like, that staying vegan wasn't the answer after being vegan for so long?
It was very hard. Like, I remember the first time I ate meat, I cried. But I think my thing was that I always put the animals first, and maybe it was time that I needed to put myself first. That was my thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was so difficult. But yeah, I just wanted to be pregnant so bad that I was happy to do anything at that stage.
Yeah. So, and then, like, just like the thought that, like, tofu wasn't going to get you there. You know what I mean? Like, I just remember in the early days, you're like, no, but there's tons of tofu in there. And I was like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know. It never filled me. Now that I look at it, it never really filled me up. Like, I was never satisfied after a whole, like, tofu salad compared to how I feel now after I eat, like, a chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken for lunch.
Yeah. And I know that one of the biggest reasons why, obviously, like, you took a break was, like, the weight gain. And now that you're, like, on the other side. And I had one client, she was like, Ashley, you don't want me to go on the podcast because I don't know if I would do this again. I was like, girl, I would never do this again.
Yeah.
Meant to be done all the time. I mean, if you need to, yes, it's possible. Your body can. But like, no, one HA recovery is enough to last me. Like, I don't need multiple, you know what I mean? Like, I would never sit here and be like, do it again, you know what I mean? But like, you almost gave up because you're like, I just can't gain any weight. And now you're here ovulating. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess the question is like, is it as bad as you thought it was being on the other side?
The journey was definitely harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I think it was really important for me, for people around me to know what I was going through. Like, I just told a few like close friends because it just made me feel better. I think I had in my head that everyone was going to think that I just became like this lazy human that was no longer this image that I thought I had. But if like the people around me knew what I was going through, it just made it feel easier that, I don't know, I was doing this for a reason, like not because I had, I don't know, lost myself.
Yeah. Well, and you had said something like, even now, and even when we were working together, you had said something that was so powerful. You're like, Ashley, I just feel like I can't win. It's either I'm getting weighed on Friday because I'm too big for ballet, or now everyone's concerned for me because now I'm too small. And it's like, why can't any, and like, to your point, fair. So fair. And then you meet me, and I'm like, I'm not telling you what you need to weigh, but I'm just telling you that where you're at's not going, you know what I mean? Like, we need a little more. And so to even be like, okay, well, now I did, so now I gained the weight so that you guys have stopped being scared about me. And now here comes Ashley telling me that my fertility needs more. Just a whirlwind, man. Just like a lot to like process. So
I
I feel like this close to after my recovery, I was mentally like being like, oh, I'm not in a good place. So you can check back in with me in 6 months. You know what I mean?
know.
Like, how are you feeling? I mean, like, you said something, you're like, digestion feels so good.
Yeah, I think I just feel like for so many years my whole thing was like I was so scared to eat because I just could not digest anything, and now it's just so good. But I think getting like having my bleed was a game changer for my mental health because everything that I had done got me my period. And so then all of a sudden I was like so much more confident in my body. I was like, I don't care. This is what I've got to look like to have my cycle, then that's just it. Like, this is me. And yeah, I feel so much more confident now than I was halfway through working with you.
Absolutely. And I love that you even shared it that way because it's like there is something that like once you get your period back that you're like, screw all you on how you want me to look. I've tried it, I've done it, I've lived it, and this is what my body needs to be to ovulate right now. And so like, yeah, there's this certain level of like, especially when you have spent thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands on doctors and supplements and all these things. Well, actually, my body knew the whole time. So I'm just gonna go with her on this one right now. Oh my gosh. Well, clearly I'm gonna have you on for part two for whenever you get pregnant and whenever you want to share that journey, because now you're actually like in the game.
Yeah, I know, it's exciting because we've been like, I've thought we've been trying for like 4 years, but now I've ovulated once. Like, that first time was like, holy moly, like now we're actually trying.
Yeah. Oh, girl, you are dropping. Yes. So while people have emotionally been trying for 5 years, it's like, but physically, you've only been capable of trying for like 1 month.
Month, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? Isn't that, oh my God. What a mental vibe. Girl.
I
Girl, well, I love that you shared this. I'm so glad that you did. I feel like a lot of people need to hear the longer stories so that if they're not in a 6 week or an 8 week or a 10 week, that doesn't mean that you're not successful. And I love that you owned your story. You're like, like it had to be this way. It like
Yeah.
I needed it. Like every part of this, there was no moving me faster on this.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not. All right, girl. Well, thank you so much.
You so much.
Yeah, and obviously we're staying in touch because now we're
Yeah.
trying.
Yay. Thank you so much. You're the best.
All right, everybody. If you want to hear more recovery stories, just go back through our entire podcast. I mean, there's so many, and like we actually have so much lined up coming out. So get recovered and stay recovered.
Hello, ladies. It's been a minute since I brought you something big and exciting for free. But I'm really excited about this. I was thinking, what do we really need to help some of these women seriously move some needles, right? Like really make some significant progress in their recovery. So I wanted to offer this to you guys, and it's basically this is stuff that we only give our paying clients. Our paying clients, our one-on-one members. So it was a big decision for me to make this bundle for you guys, but here we are. I am presenting to you guys our HA Infertility Blueprint Kit. So here's what this is. It's our DIY Restore Your Fertility program. So you get full access to the HA Society, which is usually $25 a month. And then this DIY Restore program is $472. And I'm giving it to you guys for free. I want you to come in to our amazing HA Society. I want you to come to our community calls. I want you to utilize the Restore program. I want you to utilize the content. I want you to come and chat and make some moves in your recovery. The other thing I'm offering is a 45-minute discovery call with me about whether or not your HA progress is happening and if you're ready for one-on-one coaching. So I'm going to chat with you and make sure having that call with me is actually the right move for you. I do not want you to get on this call with me if it's not the right thing for you. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go to Instagram, so that's the HA Society, or you can go to my Instagram, which is Danny Sheriff, and you're going to DM Blueprint, the word Blueprint, and I'm going to chat with you. I'm going to send you the link to get that Blueprint bundle kit, 100% free, even though it's totally valued at $497. I am giving that to you guys for a month for free, and we're going to jump on a call and we're going to talk about your recovery and we're going to figure out your next best steps to getting your period back, getting pregnant naturally if that's your goal. And we're going to make some moves. We're going to make some moves on recovery. It's going to be great. So go to the HA Society or go to Danny Sheriff. If you don't have Instagram, you can email me. You can find that on the website and I will send those things to you. Okay, guys. This is exciting, but on with the show. Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about the Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm, and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.